Imagine receiving a black envelope sealed with a gold skull, an invitation from a reclusive horror legend to a secluded coastal estate. For six acclaimed authors, this exclusive gathering at Wolf Harbor Estate promises creative inspiration, but delivers something far more sinister. The imposing main property, with its hidden passageways and museum of horror artifacts, becomes their prison when their mysterious host fails to appear. Instead, they're greeted by Mila Delangel, who introduces them to a seemingly innocent riddle game about justice and revenge, themes that will soon become terrifyingly personal. What begins as a literary retreat transforms into a deadly reckoning as each guest discovers they've been selected not for their talent, but for their sins. With communication to the outside world severed and escape routes sabotaged, these writers must confront the darkest chapters of their own stories. The line between fiction and reality blurs when their own literary creations become blueprints for murder. In this game of psychological warfare, the question isn't just who will survive, but whether anyone truly deserves to. By day two, Wolf Harbor Estate transforms into a judgment stage. The authors discover a hidden museum of horror film artifacts, the axe from The Shining, slasher masks, and a covered confessional prop that visibly disturbs Rodrigo. After his overnight disappearance, they find his thriller defaced with red ink, Peter replaced with Rodrigo, describing his stabbing in graphic detail. The torment escalates when each author receives a wooden box containing a cursed artifact targeting their secrets. Cassandra's black widow spider references rumors about her dead husband's. Fletcher's fountain pen hints at his unethical past. Following a map from Rodrigo's box leads them through the forest to tombstones, where they find him tied to an oak tree, blindfolded, blood-soaked, with brass scales taped to one hand and a knife to the other, resembling a macabre Lady Justice. These artifacts aren't random. They're physical manifestations of each author's sins, planted by someone seeking revenge. They compel us to consider what objects might represent our own darkest deeds and hidden truths. By day three, the authors realize they're pawns in a game designed to expose their darkest secrets. A sabotaged boat confirms the island is their prison. They discover a clue board with caricatures of themselves holding their cursed artifacts, alongside nine sin cards: child murderer, exploiter, drug dealer, perjurer, poisoner, thief, host, accomplice, and serial killer. As they match sins to guests, Olivia admits to being the exploiter for not fully originating her novel's idea, though Fletcher claims this sin is his. When Fletcher confronts Mila about Alastor's identity, his aggression fractures the group. The situation worsens with the discovery of murdered staff and another black envelope ordering everyone to remain locked in their rooms overnight. Most chilling is Alastor's message through Mila's watch. He didn't kill the staff, implying one of them is the murderer. The game forces each author to question not just who might be a killer, but what sins they themselves might be punished for, making everyone both suspect and victim. The fourth night delivers the most terrifying challenge. Everyone must remain locked in their rooms until sunrise. As darkness descends, each author confronts personalized horrors from their novels. Fletcher's room fills with rope, echoing his book's suicide. Ashton hears disturbing water sounds and childlike laughter, while eerie glow-in-the-dark scenes materialize on his walls. When Mila screams before dawn, Olivia and Violet break the rules to help her, passing the test of compassion. They discover Ashton dead, his throat slashed in a gaping red smile, and Fletcher lying in bed with a nearby syringe. Each body has their novel beside it, with marked passages showing how their fictional deaths became reality. This blurring of fiction and reality creates profound dread. What could be more terrifying than being killed by horrors you've imagined? The night forces us to consider how our creative output reflects our inner darkness and what responsibility we bear for the nightmares we create. By the fifth day, only four women remain: Mila, Violet, Olivia, and possibly Alastor. Olivia reveals herself as a killer before attacking Violet with a machete, dying after their confrontation while cryptically mentioning helping him. The most stunning revelation comes when Violet confesses to stealing her debut novel. Mila quietly corrects her: Ana Emilia Araceli Ortega, Mila for short. This transforms our understanding. Mila isn't Alastor's assistant, but a victim seeking justice for literary theft. We then learn that Cassandra Hutchinson is actually J.R. Alastor. Her scheme targeted each author specifically: Rodrigo for legal corruption, Fletcher for exploiting her story as her psychiatrist, and Ashton for causing her daughter's drowning. How many masks do we wear in our own lives? We present different versions of ourselves professionally, romantically, and socially. We claim others' ideas, embellish stories, and hide uncomfortable truths. Wolf Harbor forces us to consider what happens when someone strips away our carefully constructed personas. As the mansion burns, Mila and Violet discover confessional booths for escape, but only one can survive. Mila's booth reveals an escape route, while Violet's doesn't. In a selfless act, Mila pushes Violet into the booth with the escape route, confessing to the book theft and unfair invitation. After hesitating, Violet turns the lock, leaving Mila trapped. We learn Ashton is alive. His death was staged. Cassandra slash Alastor has him strapped to a wheelchair under a dock as the tide rises, revenge for convincing non-swimmer Jack into a canoe years ago, resulting in her drowning. Cassandra reveals her motive, because no mother should ever have to bury her child. Jack was her daughter, and this scheme forced each author to face their actions' consequences. Unexpectedly, Cassandra rescues Mila, walking through fire to save her before locking herself in the booth. The confessional becomes both literal and metaphorical, a space where sins are acknowledged and possibly forgiven. 2 years post-fire, Violet and Mila have forged an unlikely partnership, co-authoring a best-selling thriller about Wolf Harbor. The rebuilt estate now hosts writing workshops, transformed from a place of judgment to one of creative renewal. Mila and the surviving Ashton have developed a romance founded on their shared understanding of redemption. Each survivor found their path to atonement. Ashton channeled guilt into investigating cold cases and advocating for victims. Violet confronted her plagiarism insecurities and discovered her authentic voice. Mila transformed revenge into partnership. Even Cassandra found redemption in her final sacrifice. Redemption came with varying costs: legal consequences, professional disgrace, public acknowledgement of failures. All had to face their darkest impulses and choose differently. The book's most powerful invitation is not just to examine our sins, but to believe in writing new endings. Like these flawed authors, we can acknowledge mistakes, make amends, and transform painful experiences into something meaningful. Our authorship extends beyond the page to our lives, where each day offers a chance to revise our character.